Chapter 4, Part B. The left parties, however, opposed Kalam on the grounds that he was unqualified for the office. Further, they said that their candidate would be the legendary freedom fighter, 87-year-old Captain Lakshmi Sehgal of the Indian National Army. At this juncture, it was necessary to consider the question of whether Kalam was competent to hold the office of the president. The opposition of the left was woven around the premise that since political conditions in the country dictated that there could not be single-party governments and coalitions would be the norm, it was necessary for any president to be conversant with the constitution and constitutional law. The left also said that it was necessary for there to be a president other than one from the NDA given the communal situation in the country. This, of course, completely overlooked the fact that in any given situation where there was a crisis of any ambiguity, the president would approach constitutional experts, the Supreme Court, the predecessors, and examine precedents. If any as even precedents were versed in constitutional law would. Kalam, too, could do the same. Moreover, if this were so disqualifying, Kalam, then, if the same criterion were to be applied to Sehgal, she too would have failed the test. As far as the communal question was concerned, the very fact that the NDA had opted for a Muslim would be a signal, however symbolic in the minorities. The stand of the left was further undermined when Sehgal, campaigning across the country, declared that she saw Vajpayee as an enemy and went on to say that she was Kalam as the embodiment of the nuclear bomb. Kalam, to his credit, quickly ignored these barbs. When Union Minister for Parliamentary Affairs, Pramod Mahajan, asked him when he would like to file his nomination papers, the answer was short and succinct. Anytime, a departure from the tradition of doing something at an astrologically auspicious moment. Kalam filed his papers on 18 June 2002 in the presence of the Prime Minister. He paid the rupees 15,000 deposit from his own pocket. Kalam then issued a letter addressed to all electors, which for the first time gave a coherent, complete and concise account of his views across the entire gamut of political, social and economic issues, which we will discuss in detail later. The election, of course, was a foregone conclusion and Kalam took almost 90% of the vote. Only Dr. S. Radhakrishnan and K.R. Narayanan had earlier touched this figure. He thanked those who had voted for him, saying, "It's a great day when a poor man's son can become president."